This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Hot Start.
Again.
And EAA Radio.
Yep, we're having fun.
And joining us is Miss Claudia Herrera from NASA.
NASA.
Say it with me.
NASA. We've had a lot of NASA this week, and I'm loving this stuff.
NASA good.
Yep. Oh, and here's today's topic. They're testing highly flexible wings. I'm an expert. I build model airplanes with flappy wings on.
Yes.
You should talk to me
sometime. So why do we think the flexible wings is a good thing?
So what we've seen is as airplanes are coming in to land and the pilots throttle all the way back down, there's still a very large signature in the noise coming off the airplane, which is an indication of all the turbulent flow that is created in the Fowler flap separation to the wing. And what we're trying to do with these flexible wings is create a continuous surface. And when you have this flexible wing flap, you're able to do that. And you therefore get rid of the gap between the Fowler flap and the wing, making the flow over the wing much more efficient.
So instead of a rigid pivoting surface, you're going to make the wing flexible enough to literally just bend the trailing edge down a little bit.
Exactly. And for now, we're starting with the trailing edges, and we're starting with what would be the Fowler flap section of the wing to be that flexible part that we're essentially bending to create that lift.
Well, are you... I mean, I don't know if you're flying anything. It looks like you are. Have you noticed that it is a more efficient flap? It generates better lift with less drag?
That is a very good question. And we've flight tested this. We've actually done two phases of flight testing with this flap. And there's a range of deflections that it can be exercised through. We've noticed that there is that benefit in certain deflections and not so much in other, the larger deflections, for example. But what we've come to the conclusion is that it's really what we need to do next, now that we've proven the technology and the structure, that the structure can be flown, we need to start from a clean sheet design and integrate it into the whole wing so we can really get the benefits of reduced drag and increased lift.
Now, I'm assuming you're using hydraulic actuators to bend the wing?
That's another good question. Because this was more of a structural demonstration, we were not actually actuating it in flight. We were fixing the deflections on the ground and then flying it with that fixed deflection throughout the full envelope.
Okay.
All right.
That's
so
good. That's the first step.
Yeah, you're starting. This is ground level stuff that you're doing, but the finished product is going to be an airliner using this technology.
Correct. That is the goal. We eventually want to see these on the next generation design of aircraft, something that, as I mentioned before, there's a clean sheet design, it's integrated from the very beginning, and potentially in more areas of the wing, not just what would encompass the Fowler flap. But
right, maybe, I mean, you could do ailerons the same way.
Exactly. All sorts of control surfaces could be used this way.
What kind of materials are you going to be using in this?
That's another good question. For this particular project that we tested in the fall, that information is proprietary, so I can't...
Well, you can say metal versus composite.
Right.
I can say conventional aerospace-grade materials.
Which could be anything.
She could tell
anything
us.
Anything from a bubblegum wrapper on down.
She could tell us, but then she'd have to kill us.
Kill us, right. Wouldn't be the first time.
Nope.
Something that we can bend.
There you go. Hey, I got some cardboard boxes.
There we go.
It doesn't rain much here.
That's what I build my airplanes out of, cardboard, foam, any material laying around the house.
How long have you guys been doing this testing?
We've been doing this testing. We finished in November of 2017, and we started in November of 2013. So 5 years total that we exposed this flexible flap.
So you've got thousands of hours of flight time, hopefully, or at least more than like three.
Oh, definitely more than three. I'm trying to actually... Do the math right now.
Well, you're better than me. I don't do math. I gave it up for Lent.
And I'm doing math on the spot. But hundreds of hours. I can say that confidently.
Yeah, a lot. So that's a lot of data to correct, to crunch and everything else. I mean, how long are we, how far away from wings flapping like birds? That's almost what it sounds like.
That is the goal. We want to make our wings as efficient as possible. Structures that we can optimize depending on where we are in the flight envelope. And we're starting with the Fowler flaps. There are lots of technologies right now that are being researched and demonstrated. This is just one of them. But there's an integration that still needs to happen in terms of actuation, like you asked earlier, in terms of materials, and then in terms of actually demonstrating the full concept. So we're still a ways away, but there's a lot of work that's being done, and there's a lot of important small steps being accomplished along the way. Even, for example, with these flexible flaps, the company that built this is called Flexus, and they're actually actively working to look at retrofits on certain airliners right now. So there are some important steps being accomplished.
Now, I also from your material, I got that flutter is one of your big bugaboos. You're grappling with the problem of flutter. Anyway.
Yes, and that's something that we did a lot of learning. We had a preliminary set of thinking going into the flight testing for these flaps that flutter was a huge concern, and it even affected how we did our flight testing. As we increased our knowledge and experience with these flaps, we realized that we could have a lot more confidence in how we were analyzing and how we did the ground testing, which then allowed us to be more comfortable. And in flight testing, once we did the second phase of flight testing and we went to a higher Mach number, we were able to see that flutter was not as big of a concern.
Okay, higher Mach number? Are we thinking supersonic regime here?
Not yet. So the initial Mach number was to Mach 0.75, and we were able to extend that to Mach 0.85.
Wow, that's still pretty fast.
That's moving right along.
For an airliner.
It is, and exactly. That's the point, is to replicate what an airliner does.
So the takeaway is put a set of these on your 150 and do Mach 0.4.
There you are.
There you go.
Well, you know, this is not as simple as just making, you know, a flexible surface, because you've got a lot of other things to consider here. You've got to consider the weight of the airplane, your max gross weight, your speeds, and with all of that comes the flexing of the wing itself. If you're on an airliner and you're in turbulent air, you look out the window, you see that wing moving 6 feet. The B-52 is famous for 50 feet, and that's normal. So you've got to
figure...
And
that's a rigid wing.
That is a rigid wing. You've got to figure out how to make this all work with that wing bouncing up and down like a yo-yo.
Well, you could also imagine sensors and computer augmentation using the flexible surfaces to suppress the wing flex.
Exactly. There are a lot of...
Sorry, no, that would work. It's complicated.
Yes, it's complicated.
And it better not
run... We wouldn't understand.
It better not run on Windows 10 either.
Nice. Nice. Anyway, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head in terms of all of these different disciplines that have to be evaluated in terms of when we start to look at what we're calling more efficient structures, because that's really what we're getting at. They are flexible because they're going to be more efficient, but they're also optimized, and they're going to be optimized. The goal is to be able to optimize for each particular point in the sky, and that's a far away goal. But if we can do that, then even when we see these large deflections, we know that the structure is safe and the structure is stable.
That's the key, safe and stable.
Yeah. Well, that's an inherently stable on its own, or augmented stability like we see on so many other military aircraft and stuff?
It'll be a combination of both.
Okay.
Both passive and active.
Right, and cup
systems.
Holders, too. We need cup holders.
Oh, yes. We cannot forget the cup holders.
You did hit the point, though, on flutter. I've seen the results of that. A lot of people have seen the results of that with the stealth accident in Baltimore. That was flutter right off the bat. But, you know, I just never thought about flutter on a flexible surface. That's got to be a major problem.
It is. And it's been, you know, when you look at the history of airplanes, it's kind of had a cyclical function to it. When it was first happening, airplanes just weren't coming back, and it took us a while to really understand the problem of flutter. But then we got to the point where we could understand it, and our solution was stiffen the structure, which just meant make it beefier.
Right.
And we followed that approach for many, many years. But now we're looking at how do we make our structures more efficient, more optimized. So now we're kind of going back to the opposite direction in terms of now that we have the ability to make our structures more optimized, we can make our structures more flexible and, again, decrease the flutter margin. And I know that sounds a little bit dangerous, but because our structures are optimized, we can decrease that margin, but keep that margin throughout the whole flight envelope And again, know that the structure is stable.
And yeah, it's not going to flutter.
Well, you don't want to do that, that's for sure. It destroys everything in its path. There's just no recovery from it.
Well, anyway.
Seriously.
Oh, I understand that, because it's a tremendous amount of energy.
If your airplane has flutter, you better have an ejection seat, seriously.
Yeah, well, you don't have time. Anyway, so this is ongoing. What phase are you in right now?
We have completed this project. We did our last flight in November of 2017. And right now we're looking at all the data related to that and just doing all the publications and making sure that we let the public know all the information that we were able to gather.
Okay, so you're done? That's kind of a letdown after all that. I mean, you've probably gone, well, why can't we, if we could just do this and this and this, we'd learn some more. But that's the way with all this pure research.
Well, and especially when it comes to NASA. NASA, we have goals that we set. And once we've accomplished those goals, then we want to transfer the state of that technology into the private sector so they can start implementing it and they can really take it into the production type of mode.
So you're not to that point yet where you've actually published the data to the private sector?
Not quite yet. We've only just begun.
Okay, and then there's the phone support.
And then there's the phone support.
Somebody's going to call you and go, I don't understand what you're talking about here.
Well, the question I have is, the airplane that you use is the X-56A here, according to the picture I'm looking at. What happened to the airplane? Did they give it just to a local model club and say, here, fly it?
So that's actually a different airplane. The X-56 airplane is actually still flying.
Is it?
It is. And X-56 is using what we call the active flutter suppression. So that's exactly what you were talking about earlier with the augmented systems.
Right.
And we're still very much in the middle of flight testing that.
Okay. Now, where can we find you here on the field?
Forum 2.
Okay. This is Digital Dave. I want to thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah.
And
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.
EAA Radio.